We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Joining me in studio, we've done 12 voices in 12 hours. It's been probably 20 voices, to be honest with you. One of those voices is a 17-year-old senior at Clarence High School. His name is Andrew Kowalczyk. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm good. How are you?
Did I get that last name right?
Yes, you did.
All right, keep that on. All right, so Andrew, tell me, 17-year-old Clarence High School, what are you going to do when you graduate? You're a senior.
I would like to study both philosophy and economics if I can. I think the both really interest me.
Yeah, I mean, that first of all, you want to be well-rounded.
Yeah, absolutely. I think both of those things allow you to be that.
Yeah, don't ever be the guy that just does, like, philosophy. You know what I mean? You want to have something to use that in, you know, when you're talking economics or biology or whatever you're doing. But listen, first of all, you're 17, and I want to, first of all, commend you for even doing something like this. When I was 17, I couldn't even get my sideburns even. You're out here, you're getting on radio in front of your friends and neighbors, and you're passionate about gun control. And so what I want to know is, where did this political desire come from? Most 17-year-olds, I think you will admit, aren't as involved.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with the climate that we're in today. I think everyone's kind of starting to feel particularly one way or another. So that's how I kind of started. But just with this in particular, I went out to tweet something, to be honest. And I looked at it and I went, that's not really going to do anything.
Right.
So as a result, I just decided to do something that I could actually think of as action.
Instead of just, you know, being a hashtag, liking something, sharing it. You wanted to take it to the next level. Andrew Kowalczyk joins us, 17-year-old senior from Clarence. And now, why the gun issue? Was there anything else, when you think back, that you were kind of involved in, but this was the one that it touched home for you because of the school?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, everything else you take an interest in, but nothing else can really, like the tax law, I mean, you can look at it from my perspective and you can have thoughts on it, but it hasn't affected you in any way yet. The gun issue, though, especially with it being a school shooting, you're aware that the conversation going on right now directly impacts you.
Do you feel secure at school?
I would say I do to a point, but I am also aware that this kind of thing can happen anywhere,
right?
Especially so.
And Parkland, you could argue, is a pretty similar town.
Right, it's a pretty thing. They had a student resource officer there. So does Clarence. It's definitely a similar community, which
right.
is something you have to think about.
And so, if it can happen there, it can happen anywhere. When you think about how far, like, when was the first time you saw from your childhood? Do you remember? I mean, you wouldn't remember Columbine, but what was the first time that you knew that this was something that, you know, that guns in schools, mass shootings, what was your first kind of wake up? Was it Connecticut?
I would say probably Sandy Hook to a degree, but even then I was in middle school at the time. So it's something that it passes over your head kind of, and you're aware of it, but at the same time, you can't really comprehend it. Whereas the point I'm at now, it hits a lot closer to home.
Now tell me, where are you at now? Like, when you talk about when you watch this thing, were you in school at the time? Were you at home? Where were you?
Well, no, the weird thing was, I heard about it. I got like an update on it about it on my phone or something about five or something around those times. And at then it didn't even register in my mind. I saw another shooting and it kind of just went to the same spot where all the other shootings seem to go.
So what we talked about, maybe it's the fact that it's a town that reminds you of Clarence. This wasn't a time to tweet. This was a time for action. What are some of the things that you are doing or are talking about doing that you think is going to be able to bring action to your, you know, interest?
Well, I mean, the first thing we'd like to do is get the attention of our local congressman, Chris Collins, which is what we did with the protest that I organized. But because we're a little
what protest was that?
We organized a protest 2 weeks ago over February break, about 70 people outside of his office.
About, this happened after?
Gun control, yes.
Gun control.
And particularly the SEGA Act that he attempted to push through Congress in, I believe, July of last year.
Right.
Yeah.
What were your issues with the...
basically, it tried to roll back a lot of the regulations that the SAFE Act imposed. And while I understand it's not a perfect law, and I also understand I'm not the expert on the SAFE Act, I believe it's a more effective law than, per se, in Florida than what happened with the shooter. So that's kind of my thoughts on it.
So tell me, though, what about when you see sometimes, you know, when you're looking at law, you know, I'm guilty of this, too. I kind of find out, well, is it a Republican law? Is it a conservative law? Is it a liberal law? You know what I mean?
Right.
And then you kind of look at it and you're like, I don't like this because of the following. And sometimes it's like you're splitting hairs because, you know, it's the minutia of what you disagree with is really not that big of a deal. But on these things, when it talks about your core issues and your principles that you believe in, what specifically about, let's just go with the SAFE Act. What specifically about the SAFE Act makes you more secure that good guys will listen to it and bad guys won't mess around with it?
Well, it was on Hardline, I believe, 2 weeks ago that in New York with the AR-15, for example.
Are you talking about our Hardline, WBN?
Yeah, wow. I was on last week, actually.
Oh, yeah, hey.
So
he's plugging the network. You got to give him pluses for that. Go ahead, Andrew.
But he said that in New York, compared to Florida, he had a gun expert on, and he said that in New York, the capacity that you're allowed to load into your AR-15 or the attachments you're allowed to put into it for the ammo is less. So if the Parkland had happened here, he would have still been able to likely legally obtain the weapon. But the amount of people he would have killed would have likely gone down due to the reload time it would have taken in between.
Right. But would you ask, though, if someone's reload time had to do with the fact that they were being pursued? Like if I gave you 20 minutes to take as many stuff off the shelves at a Tops grocery store, right, and I gave you a little grocery cart, right?
Right.
And I said, Andrew, you can go in there and put as much, but you have 20 minutes, right? Obviously, the smaller cart is going to carry less than the bigger cart. So you can make the argument that the magazine change between 30 and 10 or 20 and 10, it would have gone quicker, it would have gone less. But that also implies that you weren't carrying a bunch of magazines too, right? Because the magazine change is literally a second.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I mean,
so what I'm saying is that I can't categorically tell you that a shooting can be prevented because we can't know. Just as you can't categorically say that if you had less rounds, you would kill less people.
No, I can't categorically say it, but I would just like to say it definitely increases the opportunity for someone to possibly take down the shooter.
A reload definitely is an opportunity to jump a guy.
I mean, and
absolutely.
It sounds insignificant, especially if the reload time's low.
Or if there was no one in the building, too.
Right.
It would give a person a shot. You're right.
It's a small thing that I think can have a little bit of a difference, especially in one of these scenarios.
So basically at that point, if I can just delay you for 5 seconds, that's enough to save one life. It'd be worthy of that.
I think that's valuable enough at the very least. I think that's very valuable.
What about, though, in terms of the capacity with regards to all guns? You think they should all have a limited amount?
Because I think for responsible gun owners, for the most part, you don't need necessarily an excess amount of ammo, unless the only situation really would be in self-defense.
If I was killing someone.
Right.
And then I'd want 100 rounds.
Right.
Because I want to kill
them. At the same time, that would imply, I would say that basically.
It's like this. You don't need more than 7 rounds unless you need more than 7 rounds.
Yeah,
right?
I understand.
You know what I mean? It's kind of like you don't really need 7 rounds to, you know, hit a target or to impress someone unless you need them. And at that point, but here's my whole point. Do you honestly believe that a person that's going to break the law they're going to break the law? They're not going to adhere to any of that. So what in your experience at looking at New York State, looking at the federal government or Florida, anything you've studied, what is your experience that show you that people who are in the process of breaking the law follow other laws?
the point I'd like to make to that is just I heard it on Meet the Press, but Chuck Todd brought it up, that we have laws against murder, per se. And
right.
we understand that the law against murder is going to be broken. But it's still something that we take just in regards. We understand it's not going to stop it, and we have additional resources to stop it. But it's one measure that we can take in order to, I mean, to fix the problem.
But what does it fix, though, if it's never going to be adhered to? What does it fix?
I wouldn't say that it would never be adhered to. I think while certainly it can, someone who has the intent to do this will find a way to do it. I think by giving them less avenues to do it, and by not necessarily hurting gun owners either, I don't understand who exactly loses in that situation.
Have you ever like played a sport or been like a part of a team thing?
Yeah, I played basketball.
Okay, basketball. Have you ever been punished for the actions of something that you didn't do?
Yes.
As a team?
Yes.
Okay, that is, I think it's one of the most ridiculous. It'll send the message, but it'll also get you beat up after the coach leaves, right? Because your mistake is causing me to do push-ups. Your error, your lack of judgment is affecting me.
I think you could look at it like
that. Oh. But hold on, though. Once you become an adult and you're paying your taxes, you're doing your thing, why should a free man or woman have their freedom or their liberty affected by the actions of a bad seed?
Well, I mean, I think it's funny because when you're talking about a team, I think a lot of people like to think of America as a team. Like, we have much pride in this country. We believe in this country, and we work for one another, and to varying degrees, of course.
Yeah, but you got but that's true. But it's not in the sense that we all believe in the same rules.
And just to the point of liberty, I would say, I understand I would be infringing.
Yeah.
Something like that infringes upon people's liberty, but you could also say that with what happened in Parkland, those people's liberties were infringed upon as well. Just the kids sitting in, they have a right to life. I mean,
they have a right to life.
Yes,
I like that. I like that. I'd like to hear more people talk about people's right to life. Here's my thing. When you this is where you're coming from as a, you know, you're a 17-year-old at Clarence. This is where your takeaway is. Can you understand why I do the things that I do? Do you have enough, you know, maturity to be able to look over and say, well, I'm not gay, but that guy's gay, right? You could look at someone and say, I might not agree or prescribe to your lifestyle, but I can accept that, right?
Yep.
So we can respect each other and where we're coming from. But when we're talking about the Constitution, it's a little bit more than saying, well, he has a right to speak, right? It's not like five people are trying to talk and you're like, wait a minute, everyone has a right to speak. Truly, everyone does have a right to speak, but you can't go out of your way and force someone to not be able to speak, right?
Right.
There's a difference between tolerating someone to speak and stopping them from speaking, right?
Yeah, sir. And I.
So how would we think that would be important when it came from speech or exercising your inalienable rights to any of the Bill of Rights but the Second Amendment?
Sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
So what I'm saying is that do you look at the Second Amendment as important as any of the other amendments or any other constitutions?
I would say I absolutely do.
If I told you that this was that there are people that fundamentally believe that this is a right that is given to them in the Constitution, you can agree with it, you can disagree with it, but you can't control the right.
Well, I can't particularly, but I think
I meant, you know.
Yeah, no, but I think throughout history the Constitution is interpreted by the courts. And back with
what's interpreted by the courts, though?
The particular Bill of Rights and how it applies to a certain situation.
Right.
So in 1994 there was a ban against I believe was it automatic weapons?
Well, they've been banned mostly since 72, but there were some guns that were thrown into that.
So they were contested in the courts, and the courts ruled that it's okay for a country to ban this sort of weapon.
Right.
So I think we have to understand that the Constitution, while it's absolute in its rights in each portion of it, it's up to being interpreted how far it goes.
So a minute ago we were talking about banning the capacity of a magazine. But now we're saying that there are, you believe that there are guns that are just don't have a purpose in society?
Well, no, I wouldn't say a purpose because I believe they do have a purpose. Like, for example.
No, I'm saying the 1994 guns that you're referring to.
Oh, no, I don't really believe there's a purpose in society for those necessarily. I mean,
would you think the AR is one of those that has a purpose in society?
I think it has a purpose. I think a lot of people use it for hunting. It's one of the most versatile weapons on the market.
So you're not for a weapons ban, you're just for a magazine capacity.
Well, no, not necessarily either, because I understand that while it has a purpose, I'm looking at the benefits of each. And does the purpose of having an AR-15 outweigh the purpose of possibly being able, not necessarily, but possibly being able to prevent some of these shootings that are going around the country?
So you're saying that a person with an AR can stop another person with a gun that wants to hurt people?
I don't.
And that's a good thing.
I don't think I was necessarily saying.
Okay, so you were talking about magazine capacity being an important part. All right, so let's get rid of magazine capacity.
All right.
What if I told you that the gun itself, a lot of people think that it's the weapon, the rifle, that you could have a capacity of 1,000, but that rifle is the bad thing. Is the AR rifle something that Americans should own?
I would say, this is my personal opinion.
That's all we're asking.
I don't believe they need to own it. And I'm not an expert on guns. I can't tell you. I'm not a hunting expert by any means.
No. I'm just saying, though, do you think it should be banned? Would banning it solve a problem?
Well, I don't think solely banning the AR-15 would solve a problem. And I don't know what the cutoff is between where you ban similar weapons to it, where you begin to infringe upon hunting weapons. I'm not that well informed upon it, but I believe that people can hunt in other ways without using an AR-15, and while it certainly wouldn't solve the problem, I think it could help alleviate it, ever so slightly at least.
So what about, when we get to the situation in your high school with kids, and of course we're not naming names here, but do you have kids in your school that you look at and think, you know, there might be something wrong with that guy or girl?
Well, I mean, certainly, but you also have to have the compassion to realize that you might just not understand what they're going through. And I think that's something.
No, I'm not getting to compassion. I'm just saying, are there folks in your school that you look at and think, this is trouble? This could be potential trouble. They're talking to themselves. They're looking at matches. They're chasing pigeons.
I would not say there's anyone to that degree that I've encountered in my school, but I wouldn't be surprised if they're out there.
And you wouldn't want that person getting a hold of anything.
I certainly would not. That would be something to do with background checks.
But at the same time, but I'm saying that he's a 17-year-old kid. He wouldn't be getting a background check on anything. He'd have access to his dad or mom's firearms. So if you found out that there was a kid that was making some threat to the school, do you feel like it's explained enough that you could do something in your high school to get the administration or someone?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a pretty direct way where you have to go just to get someone. Like, we have a student resource officer. You could tell them. You could tell the administration. It's not really an issue. If you see these signs, it's out there to let them know.
That's not an excuse anymore that, like, I didn't know who to call.
I wouldn't say so, no.
All right, well, that's the voice of Andrew Kowalczyk, who is the 17-year-old from Clarence. He, right after the shooting in Florida, he organized kids his age to go out and protest Congressman Collins's office. He believes he's got a nuanced approach to gun control. I don't think it's the standard left-wing boilerplate anti-gun stance. I think you're a little nuanced. And you're a little bit with the magazine capacity, but also not all guns should be banned. So, you've obviously given this a lot of thought. Andrew Kowalczyk is a 17-year-old Clarence senior. So far, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to open this up to calls, but here's the deal. I just want to remind people that Andrew is 17 years old and is a very intelligent kid. This takes a lot of courage to stand up and speak his mind. And I would just ask you to show the same respect. You might disagree with Andrew, but so far, Andrew has been very articulate. You're not emotional. You're not losing your mind. You could put your shirt back on. I thought that was unnecessary, but no. I'm only kidding. No, but Andrew, you've been a gentleman, and I would expect nothing less. You were as advertised, and I appreciate you being here. We're going to open up to some phone calls, and we just ask the caller to be as respectful as Andrew is. Here is Steve in Orleans County. Steven, you're on WBEN with Andrew Kowalczyk.
No, thank you, Andrew. I appreciate everything. Basically, what David said is true. You've handled yourself well, and I appreciate that you can have your opinion, but do so with some intellect behind it and no talking points, those types of things. You've handled yourself well. I do want to go to one thing you specifically said, and I want to ask you a question in regards to it. You'd mentioned that, you know, the children in Florida had a right to life, and I don't think anyone should disagree with that. I guess my question is, as I look at it from a liberty standpoint and from a protection standpoint, as a father of many children, and my wife, of course, my job is to protect them at all costs. By limiting the types of weapons I would have, you may put me at an unnecessary disadvantage, be it against an intruder, be it against the government, be it against anyone. So I guess thinking from the aspect of a right to life, do you feel it's appropriate then for a citizen to have an unfair advantage against anything that may be coming at them? And how would you counter that?
To your point that if you have to defend yourself against the government, I don't believe that whatever weapon you possess exactly will help you much against our $600 billion military. But to the point of self-protection against an intruder, I believe there's a common ground to be found there. I think we can both have weapons that can protect you with ease and still take them out of the hands of the people, or take the most dangerous ones out of the hands of the people who shouldn't have it.
What do you think about that, Stephen?
I think a lot of it's age. But, you know, if you're in a situation where I say defend myself against government, I mean, this may be a little bit farther, but the Branch Davidians weren't up against the full force of the military. You know, they didn't have the Marines there. But in a situation, if you look at Boston after the bombing, the cops were going from door to door to door to door, were carrying these same type of weapons, these AR-15s, the most popular weapon in the United States. And so anyone that I would have to face, for the most part, if it was an intrusion or coming at me.
And Stevens implying the time when the cops were just kicking down doors in Boston. They didn't have a warrant. They just went into people's homes. Go ahead.
Even in New Orleans after Katrina, there was a lot of confiscation going on. There was a lot of shadiness going on. And I guess my concern is that I've always told people, fine, I'll go to a pump action or a bolt action only, as long as you can guarantee me there's not a single person except in the active theater of war overseas that will have that same weapon. Do you think that's a fair compromise?
I mean, I think it's fair, and I understand where you're coming from. It makes sense.
Stephen, I appreciate the call. Thank you. Go ahead.
Basically, I think in this hypothetical situation, though, even in the scenario that you have to defend yourself against, say, the people that have the same weapons against you, if we're going up against the government, I don't want to get too far into this hypothetical, but...
Well, you know what? I don't want you to chase the hypothetical. How about this? Are you insecure with Stephen thinking that he has to be ready for someone who could enter his home that he doesn't want in his home?
No, I understand.
Let's say Stephen's one of those guys that, you know what, man, for whatever reason, Stephen's got like five bolt action, you know, he's got five locks on his garage. He's just a guy that just wants to protect his babies, you know, and he's got nice stuff and he doesn't want to get rid of his nice stuff. Are you weirded out that Stephen has multiple guns?
I wouldn't say weirded out, and I understand why someone would want that. They want to protect their kids. They want to
protect But what if Steven really wants to protect his kids? He's got a lot of guns.
I understand, but I think
is that
just,
weird?
At a certain point, you have to be a little bit selfless and understand that what happened in Parkland, I know, I'm going back to the right to life, but these people, not everyone's going to have someone out there to defend them like this. So I think we have to find a balance between that and also your liberties and your needs.
All right, let's go to another call. Well done, Andrew. Andrew Kowalczyk, and he is 17 from Clarence. And so far, man, doing well. I'm quite impressed. Do you feel comfortable?
Yeah, I'm enjoying this a lot, actually.
Blink two times if you're here against your will. Okay, no. All right, Vince. I just wanted to make sure, you know. Vince in Niagara Falls, you're on Bowerly and Bellavia with Andrew from high school. Go ahead.
Andrew Kowalczyk, David Bellavia. First of all, David, I haven't had the opportunity to speak with you yet. I've spoken with Tom Bowerly several times. I just want to say thank you, sir. Thank you for your service. I'm a twice honorably discharged Marine myself, albeit probably quite a bit older than you, as far as Andrew goes.
But God bless you for your service.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much. Hey, Andrew, you're very well-spoken, young man, 17 years old, very articulate. seem to have a good head on your shoulders. I'll cut right to the chase. The Second Amendment is not about deer hunting. Not that you said it was. I'm just saying a lot of left-leaning liberals do. My hearts go out to everyone that dies by gunfire, whether it be in Chicago, whether it be down in Parkland, Florida. And right to the point, the lawful citizens of this United States of America, by right, should have the same small arms, meaning rifle and or pistol, as our government and police. And there's a reason behind that. It's the tyranny thing. I don't want to go into that any deeper. I will say this. I'm not talking about hand grenades, laws, rockets.
Right, of course.
Tanks.
Right.
Okay, and it's more than about hunting, a lot more. And here's the whole thing. We can find middle ground. I'm certain we can find middle ground, but it will never be enough for the left. If we ban bump stocks, that's fine. I'm good with that. If
right.
If it's the age of 21, I'm not good with that. Even if we find middle ground, the next tragedy that happens by a mentally ill patient or somebody that's just off the hook, they're going to keep coming. If we ever find middle ground, in New York State is illegal with that SAFE Act, in my opinion. Illegally with the 10-round capacity.
Let me go back to Andrew, and I appreciate your call, Vince. Where do you go with that? There was a lot there, so let's just go to the ones you feel comfortable, firing back at.
Yeah, well, the part with the government, I understand that you want to have the same as the police, and you're afraid of the tyranny, but I think at the same time, not to generalize everyone, but we have to have some respect and some understanding that the police especially they're made up of us. They're made up of citizens. They're made up, and they have orders, but I think at the end of the day, they also go home and they live with us. They live among us. So I wouldn't be too worried about the tyrannical part of it, because I have trust in the police officers.
Andrew, here's the thing. There's always going to be a group that's going to come out and say, you're a 17-year-old kid. Shut up. You know what I mean? Go play your video games. What do you know? You don't pay taxes. You're always going to have to fight that group of people that are just going to dismiss. But here's the thing. You're a year away from voting, right? What you're starting to see with this generation is that a lot of those important age, that 18-year-old, that's going to be 21 very soon. I think you'll see it with, gun ownership if some people get their way, but also with the right to vote and the right to kind of exercise real. It's almost like we're saying, 18 is not enough. It's 21. Are you good with that, waiting to vote and, be able to do the things that 18-year-olds do when you're 21?
Well, I'm not completely sure about that, just because I think owning a weapon and being able to vote are kind of two separate activities, just because I think owning a weapon, while it's a responsibility that needs to be taken care of, it can be put to misuse. And you can say the same about voting, but I think the repercussions with it are far less than with a weapon.
But there's not the Bill of Rights doesn't really talk about voting.
No, I'm not saying that you cannot. I'm not saying.
I'm just saying
this
some
is my
people,
personal opinion that right. I don't believe that by raising the right to vote. And I think you look around the country, what's going on. People are very kids my age. I think I'm the prime example of that. I'm informed. I understand what's going on.
You think that you should have a right to vote, but not to own a gun?
Yeah, I believe so. And I know that may sound hypocritical from a certain point, but I think looking at it from a negative point of view, with someone who doesn't know what to do with their vote and someone that doesn't know what to do with a gun, I think.
Well, how old should you be to get drafted then?
To get drafted.
I mean, what if I told you that you couldn't own a gun or vote until you were 21, but you could go to war at 18?
Well, no, I would agree with the drafted part, 21. I think that makes sense. But I think, again, that's a separate topic than from.
No, I'm just saying, if 21 became the new arbitrary year,
well,
18, you can't buy a Playboy magazine until you're 21. You can't get a lottery ticket until you're 21. You can't buy cigarettes until you're
21. Well, I think that would be kind of misguided, just because you have to look at each regulation that you have on it on a case-by-case basis.
You're just saying that because I brought a Playboy. And the point is that you should have the right to express yourself through the vote for your candidate of your choice, but any gun you think you don't have a problem with waiting until you're 21?
No, I would say no, because I think, like, I mean, I'm repeating myself, but the repercussions of it are far greater.
All right, well, let's see if people agree with you, Andrew. What do you think is going to happen? No, I'm not going to do that to you, Andrew. I'm joking. You have been great. All right, welcome back to the Big, Big Shoe. I want to thank Phil Kennedy and, of course, our dear, dear friend, Alan Harris, for his update. Sean Murphy's doing buttons, pressing stuff. I don't know what he's doing. I really don't even have an idea. Oh, he's screening calls. That's right. And we're joined by a guy who I like you. You know, I think you're a good guy. I was shocked. Andrew Kowalczyk, I thought this was going to be one of those, like, screaming guys. And you are 100% not that person, and I appreciate that. I do. Would you be willing to take, like, if I told you that if I asked you, like, your favorite band, like, who do you listen to in music, and then you said it, and I just said, like, I don't care, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's a part of life too, that your opinion just doesn't register on some people, and you have to deal with that. But you have to deal with ignorance. You have to deal with people who just don't care about what you have to say. But then you're really speaking to what? Who is your core audience that you're talking to? Are you trying to talk to moms and dads? Are you trying to talk to policymakers? Because Chris Collins doesn't care. I mean, he doesn't. And most of people that listen to this station, they don't care. So who is your core audience that you're hitting?
Well, I mean, the answer for that for me is pretty simple. It's people my age. It's people my age, just because I started with the protest and how many people, and I understand it's kind of a trickle-down effect, too. If I affect someone from my school and then they go home and tell their parents, it probably doesn't do anything. But it's something that I find, if I can inspire other people, not even inspire, that's placing a little bit too much on myself, but making other people...
No, it's not. There are people that are going to be inspired by
just thinking is important. I think being able to think about stuff, consider both sides... That's kind of what I'm going for.
I think if I took you to Applebee's, I think I can get you on our side. I think that's all it would take is one bourbon steak. Let's go to, want to take another call? Let's go to Kathy in Somerset. Kathy, you're on with Andrew Kowalczyk from Clarence.
Andrew, I am so impressed with you. And David, thank you for fighting to give me my freedom so that we can speak like this. I keep hearing the situation being about the guns, but... It's so much more when Obama and Eric Holder passed a prison to school. It was a reimbursement to cops and to the school to try to keep minorities that started out to be out of jail. And what it ended up doing, Rumsey, I believe, was in Chicago. They put him there first. And, of course, what they did was they were paid not to prosecute any younger juvenile that had committed crimes, and so they didn't even
right.
put him on the wrist. Now, then he was, he went to Parkland, and same thing. Now, when this...
Kathy, I'm gonna put you on hold because I want to give Andrew a chance. But when I come back from this break, Kathy, I'm gonna keep you on hold, and I'll get right back to you. But go ahead, Andrew. She's basically saying that there were systems in place so that high schools basically. Didn't take problem kids and give them to the police. There was an incentive to kind of keep them in the system for funding reasons.
Right, and I understand that. And you can go to the point, too. People have brought up that the warning signs were ignored. And And the FBI missed a lot. But obviously the errors in this case was great and they were very big. But I think it's reasonable to expect in any case that human error is going to occur. So it's kind of... That's kind of why we give the job to our legislators to help us out and prevent this kind of human error from keep happening.
So what do you think the future holds for you with your philosophy and economic degree? Are you going to run for office?
That's a little far in the future. I'm only 17
But would you,
years old.
Would it interest you?
I mean, it interests me. I kind of want to go to law school first.
Yeah.
That's kind of something big for me.
But, I mean, the idea, though, of this yeah. you got your beak wet here and you're thinking yeah. in the future, I could do this.
The concept is... pretty alluring.
It's not that tough, yeah. is it? You just tell the truth.
I would not say that.
Well, listen, we don't have to agree, but you're telling the truth, right?
From my vantage point,
Well, you're just saying what's on your mind, and that's what happens. And if you can stand up to someone saying, Andrew, I disagree with you, you're an idiot, guess what? You can handle life, man. This is as tough as it gets, and you've already succeeded. So, well done, Andrew. Andrew Kowalczyk. He's a senior in Clarence, and you know what? No, I'm very impressed. I really am. I am.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
All right. You're a good guy, and I wish you the best, and maybe we could do this again. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of Bowerly and Bellavia and more voices.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.